You're listening to The Simple Truth with Pastor Dion Cordova of Truth Ministries Calvary Chapel.
We should celebrate the same way every time the Holy Spirit helps us overcome a temptation or deal with a difficult teen or defuse a marital conflict or forgive a harsh offense or you navigate an office dispute. We ought to, yes, Lord, thank you. You did that. You helped me. I heard your voice. I heard you talking to me. I heard you instructing me. I heard you keep your calm.
As we cling to the simple truth,
what makes you truly excited to the point of rejoicing? Do you get loud and celebrate when your favorite sports team wins? Do you get excited and rejoice when you're at a concert? Pastor Dion will be challenging you today to examine if you're able to celebrate and rejoice over temporal earthly things, but not so much over eternal things. Are you filled with celebration when someone gets saved? Do you rejoice when you see a marriage restored or a wayward child coming back home? Now here's Pastor Dion in Galatians chapter 5 with part 2 of today's message.
The Holy Spirit speaks and teaches and intercedes and directs and guides and can be grieved. Impersonal forces, supernatural powers, doves, fires, wind, those things can't speak, can't teach, can't give guidance or counsel. These things that we're talking about can only be done by a person. And the person of the Holy Spirit is part of the luxury package of salvation. He comes into our life when we believe in Jesus. I want you to catch this. When you put your faith in Christ, whether it was in a service raising your hand, in front of a television bending a knee, or in front of a wide auditorium, in a wide auditorium walking down. The minute that you exercise faith, you got forgiveness. You got regeneration. You got righteousness. You got adoption. And you got the Holy Spirit, the person of the Godhead. Jesus described the ministry of the Holy Spirit like this. John chapter 16, verse 7, let's read it. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Here's what he does. So before we believe or put our trust, before we surrender to Jesus, the Holy Spirit's job is to convict us of sin, convince us of righteousness, and warn us of judgment. See, before we believed and surrendered to Christ, the Holy Spirit works from the outside, pulling and pushing and agitating and warning and attracting and wooing and enticing and inviting, using whatever leverage he can to bring us to Jesus. How many of you remember those days, huh? Before we gave our life to Christ, he was pressing us from the outside. Kind of like, it would be like Stephen Curry from the Golden State Warriors calling you and saying, hey, you want to play ball because I hear that you're lousy and I want to help you. Huh? It would be like the Iron Chefs on TV pestering you to join them. Keep getting text after text after text from Bobby Flay. You know, your family wrote to me and they said you need help. So I want you to join us. Imagine that. Kind of like little Johnny. Everyone was seated around the table as the food was being served. When little Johnny received his plate, he started eating right away. His mother scolded him, Johnny, wait till we say our prayers. I don't have to say prayers, Johnny answered. Of course you do, his mother insisted. We pray before eating at our house. That's at our house, Johnny explained. But this is Grandma's house, and she knows how to cook. Bobby Flay's on the phone. Hey, let me give you some tips, right? The Holy Spirit's chiding would kind of be like Dr. Oz begging you to let him transform you with his diet and age-defying cream. Come on, please. I mean, look what it's done for Goldie Hawn and Demi Moore and Oprah. You're a prime candidate. I mean, look at you. You look like a Shar-Pei puppy, you know, sags and wrinkles everywhere. Come on, let me do it. Well, just like Dr. Oz, the Holy Spirit holds a mirror to our dead spirit and says, you look like a zombie on The Walking Dead. Look at yourself. Doesn't he do that? Before we are Christians, he does that. He says, look, he convicts us of sin. He points to what righteousness looks like. And he warns us, don't go down that road continually. It ends in judgment. Before we're saved, the Holy Spirit does that. He tells us faith in Jesus will make you alive. You don't have to be that ugly, you know, zombie. Faith in Jesus will make you alive. And he will tell us, I can give you a divine makeover. If we accept the Holy Spirit's invitation, we surrender to Christ. Here's what happens. The Holy Spirit that's been working from the outside now moves to the, everybody say it. Oh, that is so awesome. Part of the salvation package. He's been pressing us. His job is to lead us to Christ, to steer us, to direct us, to agitate us, to move us in that direction before we surrender. But then once we surrender, I love it. Once we surrender, he moves from the outside to the inside. He will be, everybody say it out loud, in you. John 14:17, here's the verse. Jesus said it. Here's what he said. Read it with me. If you love me, obey my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper. There it is, another just like me, who will never leave you. I have to leave, Jesus said, but he will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads us into all truth. The world cannot receive him because it's not looking for him and doesn't recognize him. But you know him because he lives with you now and later will be. That's what he was telling the disciples before Jesus resurrected from the dead. Before he sent them the Holy Spirit. Right now, he's working around you. He's moving you. He's drawing you. He's wooing you. But there's coming a day when he will move inside. The Spirit of God works from the outside before we come to Christ. But once we do come to Christ, the Spirit of the living God moves in and we become a temple of the Holy Spirit. Here it is, 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Read it with me. You should know that your body is a temple for the Holy Spirit who is in you. You have received the Holy Spirit from God. So you do not belong to yourselves because you were bought by God for a price. Okay, so the salvation package, the minute I said yes to Jesus, forgiveness, regeneration, righteousness, adoption, and now the Holy Spirit moves in. The Holy Spirit is now responsible for our transformation and sanctification. He's now responsible. He is working from the inside to fashion us into the image of Christ. He's got his hammer and pick, chainsaw, whatever it is. He is going to work from the inside to fashion us into the image of Christ. The Holy Spirit is a helper, as described by Jesus. And guys, like Johnny's mom, we need help. Look at your neighbor and say, you need help. Don't we? Living a Christian life, right? Because when you first come to Christ, you're clueless. On your best day, you can't be a Christian. Huh? Even that You know, those few seconds before you get up from the bed, you can't be a Christian. We need help, not with cooking, but with Christian living. So the Spirit of God goes to work teaching and illuminating and training and instructing and coaching and reminding and empowering and transforming. Aren't you glad? That's why the Apostle Paul urged us to walk. Here it is. What? Under. Finally, we get to Galatians. Look at chapter 5, verse 16. Let's read it. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. All right, so Paul says, listen, the Holy Spirit is a pro at making us like Christ. He has moved from the outside, when part of the salvation package, to the inside. And so he's saying, so Paul is urging us to walk under the influence of the Holy Spirit. You know, I think we understand being under the influence of substances or chemicals, but consider being under the influence of a person. Under the influence of a parent, a teacher, a trainer, a coach. What does that look like? See, I have the privilege, and most of you know, I have the privilege of coaching one of our church softball teams. I do. It's a hoot. I love it. I don't know a whole lot, but I teach them the mechanics of the game. How to. Everybody said what? How to. I teach them how to stop a grounder. I tell them, you got to spot it. When it's coming your way, you got to get in front of it and then attack it. Okay? I teach them that. I tell them when there's a fly ball, you don't close your eyes and just hope for it. Okay? No. You got to get under it. You got to, it's going to hit me. Put your glove in the way. That's what it's for. You got it. I teach them the mechanics. What to do. How to do it. When they get up to bat, I tell them to tuck in their chin, to close their stance, to open their wrists, and to step into the ball and swing hard, right? Some of the team members here know my famous saying is, put your hips into it. Because, you know, if you're out there swinging with your arms, you're not going to hit very far. I tell them you'll get 10 more yards if you shake it, huh? If you put your body into it. I tell them that, and it's a blast. I tell you, from a coach perspective, it's a blast when players walk under my influence, and they stop the grounder, and they make a great play, or they catch a fly ball, or they get a base hit. I mean, they look like this guy right here. Here's what they do. They smile as big as the moon. They high five. They give a fist pump. Oh, yeah, it's awesome. They even forget that the game's still going on. They make the catch, and they're like, oh, yeah, oh, yeah. And the ball. It's a moment to enjoy because they got it. Kind of like, I love it. We had a girl on our team this past week. She gets up to bat. She has hit 2 ground balls to the infield and got thrown out both times. She stands up to the plate her next time to bat. She's holding her bat, and I tell her, I call her by name, and I say, drop your stance, drop your arms. When you hit the ball from up here, and I tell her, you try to hit the ball from up here, what ends up happening is you end up doing this, and that's why the ball goes down. Drop your arms, hit here, the ball goes. She did it. She got the ball, went over the infield. She got a base hit, and you should have seen her at first base. She forgot to call me pastor. She called me coach. I loved it. I enjoy it. It was awesome. I mean, they're cheering. It's not the Masters. It's not the World Series or the World Cup, but it feels good when you do it. We should celebrate the same way every time the Holy Spirit helps us overcome a temptation or deal with a difficult team or defuse a marital conflict or forgive a harsh offense, or you navigate an office dispute. We ought to, yes, Lord, thank you. You did that. You helped me. You gave, I heard your voice. I heard you talking to me. I heard you instructing me. I heard you keep your calm, keep your temper, hold on, be quiet, bite your tongue, huh? How many have heard him say those things to you, right? Drop your arms, huh? Open your fists, open your hands, smile, say something nice. But then you do it, and it diffuses the situation. And you're like, yes, that could have been horrific. That could have really gone south. The Holy Spirit within. But be aware that even though players do it right a couple of times during a game, doesn't mean that it sticks. All right? We have some people go out there and they, oh, yeah, and they do it right. And they're like all pumped up. But by the next game, I don't know what happens. They go back to their lazy ways or their bad habits. Let your neighbor say, I think I know what he's talking about. Look at him and tell him, I think I know what he's talking about. Am I right? And then I hear them say, I know. Put my hips into it. I know. Because that's what I'm doing from the sideline. Remember. Hey, don't forget. I tell him, do it. I know. I need to do it. I need to get better. You know what that is? That verse where Paul says that the Holy Spirit intercedes for us with groanings, yearnings. He's telling, I want to get better. I want to do better. I know better. From the inside, he's doing that. Now listen, guys. If we walk under his influence, if we walk in the influence of the Holy Spirit, his teachings, his instruction, his remindings. I mean, if we hear his voice, we feel his tension or inspiration, if we walk under his influence, we will see progress. Everybody say the word, what? Progress. See, the Holy Spirit knows how to turn zeros into heroes. He knows how to produce spiritual fruit in our lives. He knows how to do it. Look at your neighbor and say, he knows how. Now, Jesus said this, and I got to be quick. Jesus said that we Christians will be known by our fruits. Huh? If you're an apple tree, you produce. If you're an orange tree, you produce. If you're a Christian, you will produce what? Christian fruits, right? Now, those fruits are not prayer languages or prophetic utterances or radical evangelism. That's not what the fruits are. The Apostle Paul identified the fruit or the evidence of the Holy Spirit in our lives like this. Look at verse 22. We're dropping down a couple of verses. Read it with me. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. I mean, just for the record, can we read it one more time? I know we're short on time, but can we read it again? All right. It is love, joy, peace, long-suffering. That's patience, in case you didn't know. Here we go. Kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Now, some of you might be hearing that little theme song of the Mission Impossible, right? As you read that list, you're saying, dum, 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 dum. Huh? But I don't want you to worry. See, because we have a pro in our corner, God the Holy Spirit, pouring out his influence. He is laying it on thick from the inside. All we have to do is walk in his influence and see the difference. I want to read a verse to you. One last one. Philippians chapter 2, verse 13. Read it with me. For it is God who works in you. Now I want you to stop right there. God in you. Who is that? You got it. Or is God in you who works in you both to will and to do for His good pleasure. Sometimes you don't feel like it. Sometimes you don't know how to do it. Sometimes you just don't have the gunas, right? Don't have the energy. Don't have the gunas, the will. Oh, I just don't see it, the reason. But the Holy Spirit works from the inside, doing that, giving you the will and the power to do it. Even when you don't know how, He's doing it. It begins to happen as you surrender and walk under the influence of the Holy Spirit. It's not hard. Let your neighbor and say, it's not hard. He's doing most of the work. Now, I'm going to use this last illustration. Here we go. I live in Velarde. And every morning when I drive to work, when I pass the apple orchards, I never see a tree going like this. Never. It doesn't happen. It's not like, you know, the ground doesn't shake. Nothing happens that way. You want to know why? The tree has planted its roots deep. It's abiding in good soil. It's getting the nourishment and the water and the attention that it needs. It is in that particular spot. And when that happens, guess what happens? It just happens. And it happens in abundance. The same is true with you. You're beating yourself up. You don't want a knucklehead. I just can't get it right. You quit more times than you really go. Huh? All you got to do is plant yourself where there's great teaching, where there's great inspiration. Listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit as He speaks to you in each individual circumstance. Follow His influence. You know what to do. He's there standing at the base coaching. Hey, remember. Everybody, we say it this way in northern New Mexico. Member. Everybody say it. Member. Do you remember? Right? He's doing that. All you got to do is, oh, yeah. Okay, I got this. And then guess what happens? The fruit just comes. The fruit happens. People, before you know it, are saying, man, look at you. Look at the change. And you're like, oh yeah, but it had nothing to do with us, did it? All we did was walk under the influence. He's the pro. So when you got a problem, or you got a hurt, or you got a situation, you can call on the pro. What should I do? And He will work in you. Isn't that awesome? Part of the salvation package. It came with the rest of it. So I hope you take advantage of it. As we cling to the simple.
We're so glad you tuned in today to The Simple Truth. We hope that Pastor Dion's teaching in the book of Galatians has encouraged your heart and brought you closer to your Savior. If you'd like to learn more about the ministry of The Simple Truth or hear additional messages, visit tmcalvary.com. You'll find them under the Sermons tab. You can even experience the video version of these teachings at our YouTube channel. Just follow the link. And don't forget to subscribe. When you do, you'll be notified as soon as we've uploaded new messages that we know will share Jesus' love and truth for your life. Find a link to our YouTube channel at our website. Again, that's tmcalvary.com. Before we end our time with you today, we'd like to take a moment and encourage you in your journey of faith. Whether you've been walking with Jesus for years or you've just met Him today, you can and need to continue to lean into His love for you. Keep studying God's Word through listening to Pastor Dion's teachings or simply by opening the Bible and reading it for yourself. In this book is the simple truth of your need for a Savior and the path your life will take as soon as you accept the free gift of grace that Jesus provides by His death on the cross. Today, we pray that you choose to step into the life that Jesus has for you. Know that we're lifting you up in prayer and that we're committed to bringing you God's truth through the study of His Word. That's all we have time for today. Thanks for being a part of today's teaching, and we hope you'll join us again right here on The Simple Truth. You're the one that we proclaim.
for you as you work in us. May your power show in the deeds we sow. Let us join our hands and together we stand.
Together we stand.